Welcome back, everyone, to AM 570 KVI. This is Green Medicine. This is Dr. John Sherman from the Tahoma Clinic in Tukwila and North Seattle. Sorry about all the technical glitches here. I think we've got everybody back. Dr. Tamburi and Dave, is everybody there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay, great. Dave, could you repeat your question for Dr. Tamburi?
Sure. Excuse me. I had an MRI 2 years ago, and it identified a specific tumor, small, at the apex. I had another MRI, just a month ago, and the tumor is no longer identifiable, but the PSA continues to rise. So my question is, would a color Doppler be able to potentially identify the source of this PSA rise?
Great question. So, yes, the color Doppler would certainly help that to that effect. I'm going to talk about the Doppler in a second. Did you have a biopsy? Because you're saying it was a tumor, or was it just a suspect lesion on the MRI, and that was it?
I had a biopsy after the tumor, after the MRI.
Okay, and so
identified a potential tumor. And by the way, it was to be a focal one. I had only four needles.
Excellent. Wow. Okay. Well, those are. I hate to use the word rare. They're becoming more well known. A focal biopsy, by the way, for you guys that don't know, the standard system, which you guys know I'm not a fan of, they just do a 12-point random biopsy. So it's sort of like playing pin the tail on the donkey, and they put a grid over your prostate, and they go ding, 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 and they just take 12 cores in a grid, and that's by protocol standard, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes what patients want now is, like, they're saying, look, you know, instead of just shotgunning this thing, can't you use your brain, Mr. Doctor, and use some kind of scan and just biopsy the areas that seem high risk? Just take a couple cores from that and tell me. The first problem is whether or not that really is, if you can see anything high risk. And sometimes if you do, like in your case, the question is that cancer or not? A focal biopsy is when they just go and take from a couple areas. So I'm glad that you had that done. That's less damage to your prostate, first of all. Second of all, the cancer was now confirmed. Was it in the same location as the suspect lesion on the MRI, sir?
Right. And it was another area that was hard from a DRE, and it was benign. So
gotcha. So you're like a trifecta.
Sure where we are.
Okay, so you have like a trifecta. You have a positive DRE. They also confirmed it, or at least found a lesion in the same location where they fell.
No, it wasn't the same location, fortunately.
It wasn't. Okay. Well, that's okay. If you have a trifecta, as I call it, where you feel it, you can see it, and then the biopsy, if they all triangulate, then that is a reproducible prostate cancer, or I call a significant or reproducible. That means that if you biopsy to the poor gentleman five times in a row, you probably would find the same cancer in the same location. Now, that doesn't always show up, though, and you can have something that you feel is a cancer, but yet a suspect lesion is somewhere else, and then a biopsy could be some random cells somewhere. This is what gets so complicated about it. Now, what you're asking is that lesion, they did it a second time, and then they didn't find the lesion. Well, the question is, was the first lesion, was that really a cancer in the first place? Since that was not specifically biopsied, it was a suspect lesion that may not be what the biopsy found.
Actually, it was biopsied,
That specific place was?
Okay. Yes.
All right, well, if it was, then if they didn't find it again, it's possible that either it disappeared, and that's number one. Number two, the cancer, it could be another cancer someplace else. Many times there are more than just one focal region for a cancer, whether they found it or not. Also, many times what shows up are suspect lesions may not be the cancer directly. Often it could be inflammation that the cancer is embedded in. Remember, cancer creates inflammation on its own. That's another part to it. So sometimes the cancer is still there, but maybe if you did treatments in between, and again, I know I'm not getting every detail in your case. I might be missing something. But if the area was inflamed and inflammation went down, that could be why the MRI is not picking it up if the cancer is still there. But then again, maybe it's gone away. With that said, the color Doppler, it would be definitely helpful for you. The color Doppler and an MRI are kind of like the yin and yang of each other, okay? So the MRI has higher resolution than anything, okay, and definitely a color Doppler. A color Doppler is kind of second to that. So it would be Doppler, any kind of ultrasound, even the new high-resolution ultrasounds are going to be a little bit less than an MRI. That's the advantage for an MRI for higher resolution, or if you have suspect, if you're suspecting early metastasis or extension of the cancer outside the prostate, if the cancer might be in the seminal vesicles, this sort of thing the MRI is very good for. On the other hand, though, the ultrasound and Doppler, that allows you to see the prostate breathing, essentially. You see the prostate in real time. You see it organically. And that is something the MRI does not. The MRI is higher resolution, but it's a snapshot in time. Whereas the ultrasound, as you move, I can see it. As you breathe, as your heart beats, I can see the blood flow go into and out of the prostate in different areas. And therefore, if a lesion is there, even if you can't see it often, and let me tell you that unfortunately the reality is most prostate cancers you cannot overtly see. Okay, a lot of patients expect this on an MRI or an ultrasound, but the little dirty secret, I hate to tell you, is that most cancers don't just show up and with a big black spot saying, here I am. Many times you're inferring the cancer from structures around it, and or you're trying to rule out other problems of the prostate that could be setting off your PSA in the first place. Remember, your cancer, I'm not saying it's not there, but if the cancer was diagnosed because the biopsy was done because your PSA was high, the question is, what's the problem? Is the problem that cancer's there, or is the problem that the PSA is high? And many times those are completely separate issues that get confounded and confused by even the medical system. So anyway, the ultrasound and Doppler can definitely help figure out more information of, you know, if you see that area that maybe the MRI picked up and then disappeared, what I would want to know is there a focal area of blood flow kind of circling the drain, so to speak, around that mysterious area? If there is, then that would still suggest that there's a lesion with high metabolic activity at that area. Does that answer that question, sir?
Yes, it kind of does. Just to fill in a little bit more, due to the, I've had a stable PSA between 6 and 8 for 5 years, and in the last year it started to rise. And it was now 10.7. So that I was going to go for a focal treatment, and hence the MRI and a new biopsy because the HIFU treatment, high intensity focused ultrasound, study by the FDA, it's the only way you can get it in this country, is required biopsy as part of the protocol.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of them are required biopsy. That's sort of the quid pro quo, unfortunately, that kind of gets you on that, which is, by the way, this may not be your point or question, but for a lot of the audience as well, I want to be clear. The only reason that you need a biopsy, all right, let me be clear. The only reason that you need a biopsy is if you are in agreement that at some point you're going to have the prostate removed, radiated, whatever. Okay, if many of you out there are very, very natural, and we'll define maybe that in a different way, but natural, if you know that you'd rather die of prostate cancer, not that we want that to happen, before any white coat touches you with drugs, surgery, whatever. I mean, if you're committed to that, then let me be clear, you never need a biopsy, because the only point of that biopsy is to make sure that all the dominoes are lined up to authorize your insurance company to pay your doctor to do the surgery. And it also protects the doctor, because his malpractice attorney will defend him as long as they have that biopsy. So it's all about that biopsy to get this whole mechanism of the system to go forward. Then that's one way. Go ahead.
And that's the advantage of doing the color Doppler ultrasound, is you can monitor the changes that are happening every so often and without puncturing the prostate.
So our
local listeners know, Dr. Tamburi brings his equipment and comes up to Tahoma Clinic every so often, every few months, to scan our prostate patients. So if anyone needs that, please call the clinic, 206-812-9988. So thanks for your question, Dave. Really appreciate that.
Okay, I have a quick input for one of your other callers, if you want to waste just a second. I've obtained the 4MU, and I, too, was scared off by wire transfer to Hong Kong. But they have an alternative of, it's called check to pay, and it costs nothing as opposed to $50 or more for wire transfer. And I did receive the product.
Great. Thanks for that, Dave.
Okay. Thank you very
Appreciate
much.
Appreciate that. Dave. Good. So thanks for the calls. For people that are considering calling in, I want to give you the phone numbers again, 206-421-5757 and 888-312-5757. I know this hour is going to go quick, so I've got a bunch of other questions I'd like to ask Dr. T. So, Dr. Tenbury, what's your opinion of using testosterone with an elevated PSA or even with a history of prostate cancer? I get that asked a lot.
Wow, nothing but softball questions, Dr. Sherman. Great. Awesome. All right, so that's a loaded question, and it's a great question. I mean, it's like the abortion debate. You know, it's just it goes back and forth. I will say it is a serious question. I've been kind of on a personal sense. I've been asked as an expert witness on the state of Arizona board because of doctors that get themselves caught in that very question. So here's the thing. The first thing you need to be understand is that prostate cancer, like all cancers, it's like having children. You know, if you see a baby picture, at least to me as a guy, they all look alike. You know, they're hairless, kind of little alien things and whatever, you know, because before I had my own baby just recently. But when you have numerous kids or you've been around kids, you know that they have different personalities. Some children smile more than others. They cry more than others. And the same thing with cancer. People think that prostate cancer, like breast cancer or whatever, prostate cancer is prostate cancer. You know, someone told me I got prostate cancer and what kind of herb do you got for it and let me get rid of it. The thing is, these things are different. There was an English study about 8 years ago now, there's probably a new version now, they said there's at least 36 different variants of prostate cancer. And that's just getting started. There's probably even more. And so some prostate cancer you can feel when you do a DRE. A lot of prostate cancer.
Digital rectal exam.
Exactly. I'm saying a rectal exam. There's a hard lesion. And when I get done the lesion, patients always ask, well, doc, did you feel anything? And, you know, of course, hopefully not to. But even if you don't feel it, most times it doesn't mean it's not there because cancer is like veins of fat in a piece of meat. You know, if you push down a piece of steak, you may not feel a piece of fat, but if you take a biopsy of it, you'll see little veins of it. That's what we mean, that we have cancer in us all of the time. So some cancer shows little balls and you can feel it. Most you can't. Some prostate cancer, most of it, I should say, makes the PSA go up. Some prostate cancer does not. And if any of you have been in Vietnam, God bless you, but you know, if you had Agent Orange exposure, you might have the type of cancer that is PSA independent. I've had patients in my office, the entire prostate is a rock of cancer, Gleason 10, for those of you that know that, those of you that know Gleason's, the PSA never went over 1.4. Okay, so those are different types. And similarly, Dr. Sherman, the testosterone question, most prostate cancer I find does get influenced by testosterone to some degree, but some don't. And that's what gets confusing because you'll have men that maybe had a prostate cancer, they took testosterone, they took injectables, and never had a problem. And then they write this on websites, and then everyone thinks that that's their story. And that's where figuring out what kind, what variant, what personality of your cancer you have is really the key to figure out what you do with it. But anyway, as far as testosterone in general, I have no problem with it as long as the patient is monitored, and many of our doctors in our community do prescribe testosterone, even with prostate cancer. I sort of plead the fifth on it in a way as far as practicing. I do more of the monitoring, but I want to make sure that, you know, these doctors at least are properly monitoring the patient. Couple points. First is that if you've already had the prostate removed or taken care of somehow, then the new guidelines are more liberal now, and they're saying that if you are cancer-free after 4 years, and I think they've reduced it to 3 now, if 3 to 4 years your PSA is still under 1, then you're a candidate for testosterone therapy. And that's news because for years, didn't matter how long post-operative, they would never touch you with testosterone. And then the other thing, the last point, because I know there might be some practitioners listening as well, there's a lot of research on both sides making this argument, and I'm very aware of a lot of that. But the one thing you got to be aware of, guys, for fellow doctors, is that if you get called into a board by giving for testosterone, you need to be able to answer a question, which is when someone has prostate cancer and their PSA is 200, let's say, and you remove all of their testosterone, either a double orchidectomy, which is a removal of the testicles. Nowadays, we do a chemical castration with Lupron, Casodex, whatever. If you remove all the testosterone, the PSA drops usually like to one or under one. And that proves to usually court of law that, okay, well, PSA and cancer and testosterone is linked, right? You take away testosterone, the cancer goes to sleep. So that's something that many times you constantly get hit with. I know there's answers on both sides to that, but that's a key part to the argument. But anyway, as I said, as long as you're monitored and you're feeling healthy with testosterone, then it's a good thing.
Great answer. Thanks so much. And we need to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with some more questions.